Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' holy name that you would open 1 Corinthians 2 to us. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Oh, Father, we love your word. Your scriptures are alive. The word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. So, Lord, help us to receive from your word, to learn. I pray that we would know Christ better at the end of this hour. Just having spent this time together, we would know you better and realize what you've done for us. So open your word to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's, you know, this is a short chapter, so would it be okay with you if I just read the whole chapter first, and then we go back to it? So let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 2. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit teaches all things, searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's the title of the message. We have the mind of Christ. So let's take it apart a little bit, shall we? Remember that Paul visited Corinth. We introduced this last week. And every single message that has ever been preached is at the website. You can find it, the recording. Play it if you want to play it. We saw last week that he started the work in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. He was there a year and a half. Corinth was the fourth biggest city in the Roman Empire, and a rich city, a seaport, an immoral city with Aphrodites and the temple prostitutes. And this is where Paul started to work. And he began last week by telling us about, after the introduction, the wisdom of the cross, the message of the cross. Remember, and he said that's foolishness to the world, but to us the cross is the power of God. And so now he's going to continue this meditation on the cross and on the wisdom that is from God, Christ crucified. You know, when you become a Christian, you get a new mind, so to speak. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, let me just introduce this, to set this chapter up. He said, you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. So, to be born again is a second birth. The Holy Spirit comes into you, fills you. See, we were spiritually dead because of Adam and Eve. We sinned, And so we have this sinful nature, and our spirit was spiritually dead. We were, Ephesians 2, we were dead in our transgressions. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. And so we were born again. Oh, my spirit was alive. I had a mind and I had a body. I could think and I could walk around, but spiritually, I was dead. But when God revealed Jesus to us, church, the Holy Spirit came into us. We had a second birth. And the Holy Spirit who is in us is God. And that is why, that's where all this wisdom comes from. It's a new birth, a new mind. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know it. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. So we become a new creation in Christ, born again. Romans 8:9 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. You either have the Spirit or you don't. If the Holy Spirit is not in you, you're not a Christian. That's just the world. But if you really are a Christian, then the Holy Spirit is in you. So that's the whole deal. Jude 19, there's an interesting reference to those who follow mere natural instincts but do not have the Spirit. There are people that claim to be Christians that follow natural instincts, but they don't even have the Spirit. A Christian is a person who has received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Jesus said, I will send you another counselor. He will teach and remind you of the things. He will bring glory to me. And so the Holy Spirit living inside of us reveals the deep things of God to us. And that's what this chapter is about. So he begins in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 2:1. I didn't come to you with eloquence or superior wisdom. He says, I resolved to know nothing but Jesus and him crucified. And because he says, ultimately, I came to you in weakness. I came to you in fear. I was nervous. I was not confident. And instead, I wanted your faith to not be based upon my clever words. I wanted your faith to be based upon a demonstration of the work of the Spirit so that your faith wouldn't be because of man's wisdom, but because of God's power. You see, that's the essence of it right there. You know, I was a speech major in college, right? And I'm glad. I've always liked talking. and I was pretty good at it. You know, I got a scholarship and I became a speech teacher before I was and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I could teach you today about how are your gestures? How is your eye contact? How is your volume? You don't want to be a monotone. You want to have good inflection in your voice. So I know how to do that stuff. But you know what? I have found as a Christian, sure, I'm glad that I studied that. It doesn't hurt. But I don't rely on me. It has to be a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I'm weak. I have found that you can give a great sermon. I've been doing this for a long time. More than 40 years I've been a pastor, 44 years, whatever it is. And you can give a smooth sermon, but not much fruit. You go, what happened? It only if the Spirit, and on the other hand, you can be a little nervous, but God can do a powerful thing. It's always the work of the Holy Spirit. This morning, it is the work of the Spirit. And I love how the Holy Spirit works in the church. We preach the word. God uses preachers, but it's his work. And Paul said, I want your faith to rest on the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can see how the power works. Can you imagine, most of you have probably seen Billy Graham. If you haven't, you gotta go to YouTube and get a Billy Graham sermon. There's just something there. There's a power of the Holy Spirit when the man was speaking. He would just speak, and there's a power that went, whoa. It's the Spirit's power. God wants preaching to be Spirit-empowered. You see, Paul had just come. If you read the book of Acts, we studied it in the park. In Acts 17, he had been in Athens. And in Athens, he had given a really clever sermon to the Greeks about using Greek thought and Hellenistic wisdom and quoting Greek poets. But there was only a little bit of fruit. It was a good sermon. Paul was a good sermon. But here it's interesting. There are some people think Paul, after that experience, he went from Athens to Corinth. He says, that's it. I'm going to know nothing but Christ crucified. I'm just going to declare the cross. And that's what he did when he came to Corinth. It's the message of the cross. And so the key is to have a genuine work of the Holy Spirit, total reliance upon the Holy Spirit. So verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. So Paul is now going to say, listen, actually, we do have a very important message, and it's a message of wisdom, but it's for the mature. Mature means for the fully grown. But the rulers of this age can't understand this wisdom. It is a secret wisdom. And so he goes on. Let me read the rest of it again. Verse 7, he says, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived of what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it by his Spirit. So this is a hidden message, something that's hidden that's now been revealed. Verse 7, God says, God's secret wisdom that has been destined for our glory. Did you know that you're destined for glory? God gave you this wisdom, been destined for our glory. You're going to share with God. He's the one who receives the glory, but we are his children. And you are destined to be with him, this wisdom, for our glory before time began. God planned to adopt you into his family before time even began. Now, the rulers of this age could not understand this wisdom. Psalm 2, I'll read it to you. Psalm 2, it was quoted in the book of Acts. Psalm 2 speaks of the rulers of this age. And so you can turn to it if you want to. Psalm chapter 2. He says, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. And then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and lest you be destroyed in your ways. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. You see, in Acts chapter 4, after they had been told by the Sanhedrin to quit speaking, they actually prayed for more boldness, and they said, Herod and Pilate conspired against Jesus because you had predicted it. And they quoted this psalm. The kings of this world, the rulers of this world, you can go back to Corinthians now, they can't understand this spiritual wisdom. People that don't have the Holy Spirit, to them, it doesn't make sense. They read the Bible, and the Bible's a boring book. It doesn't make sense to them. But you see, God, this glorious quotation, this is misquoted all the time. People, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. Have you ever heard that misquoted?
Yes.
People are talking about a beautiful heaven will be, oh, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the things that God has prepared. Oh, it's going to be pretty. That's not what it's saying. It's saying eye has not heard, seen, ear has not heard, the things that God has stored up, but God has revealed it. You see, it's been blind to the world. It's been hidden, but now it's been revealed. That's the text, you guys. God reveals it in Jesus. The mystery long hidden, is when Jesus comes to earth, all the shadows come into focus. All the clarity is there. It's in Christ. He's the Lamb of God, you see. And Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection is cryptic in the Old Testament. It's sort of hidden like a code. But when Jesus comes, all that prophecy is clearly fulfilled. He's born in Bethlehem. He's pierced for our transgressions. And he rises from the dead on the third day. And all the scripture suddenly has this great spotlight. And it's clear. It's clear as a bell. Jesus said, "Blessed are your eyes for what they see, your ears for what they hear." Many men of old wanted to hear it. My wife and I read Job recently. We always have a breakfast table devotion. You guys might want to try that with your wives. Every morning, I read one chapter to my wife. And we just go through the Bible and pray. And that's just bonus time for us. And in Job knew a lot. And he had some things that he said that were pointing to the Messiah. But he still didn't know what we know. We know that God became a man. He is Emmanuel. He is the Word made flesh. And we've heard his teachings. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have the mind of God revealed to us in the scripture, the Word of God. The mind of God revealed in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. God lives inside of us, the third person of the Trinity. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of Christ is in you. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, but God has revealed it. Hallelujah. Now, we're not God. We're still in great humility. I still see through a glass darkly, according to 1 Corinthians 13. There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things that questions I have. Pastor Chuck Smith used to say that he had two card files, and one was things that he understood. He'd pull out a card. This was very clear to him. But over here are things that I don't quite understand that. And he said once in a while, God would help him to move one card over to the other file. But there's things in Scripture that I don't, what does that mean? So I'm not saying that we have perfect understanding, but I'm saying we do have the mind of Christ. God has revealed, the word for reveal in verse 10, in the Greek is apokalypto. And that word, let me read to you what it means from a Greek dictionary. It means to remove a veil or covering. Exposing to open view what was before hidden, to make manifest or reveal a thing previously secret or unknown, particularly applied to supernatural revelation. So in other words, like if I put a cloth napkin over it, you want to know what's under here? You wouldn't know, and I pull the cloth, you go, wow, that's beautiful. Well, you see, Jesus is now clearly revealed. The veil, same word for revelation, book of Revelation, apocalypto. It's a revelation. Jesus is now clearly revealed to us. And verse 11, or verse 10, continuing in verse 10, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thought of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So basically what it's saying is this, is that we can't know each other's thoughts. I can't, even my wife and I, we know each other pretty well. We've been married for 48 years, but I can't always tell what she's thinking. And she can't always tell what I'm thinking. It says in Proverbs 14:10, each heart knows its own bitterness and each heart knows its own joy. There's some things that we experience alone. But because we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, we can know exactly how God feels. We can know exactly how God thinks because God has come to live inside of us. The Spirit of God, who is the Holy Spirit, is God, freely reveals to us the thoughts of God. It says in verse 12, the things that are freely given. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Everything God has given to us is free. Freely you have received, Jesus said, freely give. It wasn't free for God. It cost him his own only son. but God has freely given to us his truth. So it says in verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Did you ever think about that? We express spiritual truth in spiritual words. And you know, when you become a Christian, you sort of develop a new vocabulary, don't you? I became a Christian when I was 26, and you know, I didn't used to walk around saying grace, mercy, forgiveness, you know, sanctification. You know, these are things that once you become a Christian, wow, grace and peace, you get it, you know. Wow, I'm forgiven. Wow, I'm sanctified, I'm being made holy. Wow, I'm justified, God has removed my guilt, my shame. I can be a fisher of men. These are things we didn't talk about before we were saved. Now we use these words. I have great and precious promises. Holiness. These were not words we threw around very often before we were Christians. But now we express spiritual truth in spiritual words because we have been born again. And verse 14 says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. So an unbeliever, a man who is still of a carnal mind, an earthly mind, is blinded. And no wonder he finds the Bible boring. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 4. Second Corinthians 4, I'll start reading in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. He says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. For the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So the reason an unbeliever is an unbeliever, and it may be because by choice, but is because Satan has blinded their mind. They can't see it. So so that's why if we want to see people get saved, we have to pray that Satan's blinders would be removed, because we receive a new mind when we recognize Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Son of God. He came. And that is something that only the Spirit can say. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. You can't say it and mean it. I remember when I first came to believe in Christ, and I experienced him in my life, holding on to the steering wheel, driving, going, Jesus is Lord. It just popped out of my mouth. He's Lord. Wow, it's true. Now, I don't have a perfect faith, and neither do you. Our faith is still the mustard seed. But we have come to believe and know that Jesus is God. I didn't even know there was a God, did you? I used to just think I was a nothing. And when I first got born again, encountering Jesus, the one true living God, the God who made the tree, the God who, wow, and he's revealed in this book. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Nothing has been made except through him. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. We have come to know and to believe that Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. And so we receive a new mind, and the carnal man cannot understand it. And our goal becomes to convey this to other people. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Turn to Acts chapter 26. Let's see how Paul did this. Acts, I think it's 26. Acts 26. Yeah, it is. Acts 26, verse 15. Right before that, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? In verse 15, he says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and a witness of what you've seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The job of the preacher, the job of Paul, was to take people from darkness to light by declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from going from a blind and carnal mind, you can go back to 1 Corinthians, to having a new mind. And we have this new mind, the mind of Christ. God has given it to us. And so he says in our final verse, verse 15, he says, the spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. So you are able to make judgments about all things. Did you know that? You're able to decide things. Because why? Because you have the scripture. And so we're not subject to any man's judgment. You're subject to God. God's going to judge you, but no man will. But you can make decisions about all things. The only thing you don't do is judge other people. We leave that to God. There's only one judge. But other than that, you're free to judge everything in this life. You're free to make decisions. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. Why? Because we have this new mind that we think with. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So if I know the Bible and I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, I have new eyes and I can see as Jesus sees. And I can think as Jesus thinks. And so then he goes in the last verse and he says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And that's quoted also in Romans 11:34, is how God is almost unknowable. But then right after that, he says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, I could spend another hour, and I'm not going to, so be glad. But I could spend another long time telling you, what is the mind of Christ? Well, the mind of Christ is revealed in Scripture. The mind of Christ in Philippians 2, it says, let this attitude be in you that was in Christ, who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to empty himself and take the form of a man and be a servant, obedient to death on a cross. Humility. The mind of Christ is humility. The mind of Christ is love. The mind of Christ is holiness. The mind of Christ is a love for the lost. Jesus said the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's all about the mind. It's all about the mind. You know the Greek definition of mind? Here it is. Listen. The Greek definition of mind, it is the seat of emotions and actions. It is the way of thinking. It is the attitude and moral inclination. You know, you can feel what God is feeling. God has emotions. You know that, right? And when the flood of Noah happened, God said, I am grieved that I made mankind, and he was pained in his heart. God felt pain. You can feel pain. And we have the mind of Christ. We can feel the emotional ways of thinking and actions of God. So if God weeps over Jerusalem, we weep over Jerusalem. We have the mind of Christ. As I read this text this week, this wisdom that God gave us, it's not something we boast in. We have great weakness. But we have the mind of Christ. We have God has revealed himself to us through his word. And so we have cause to rejoice. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Scripture declares in all three Gospels, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your strength, soul, with all your soul, your mind, your heart, and your strength. And I've got the references. Acts 4:32 says the believers were of one heart and mind. Ephesians 4:23 says we have new minds. Colossians 3:2 says set your minds on the things above. And quoted twice in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 8:10 and Hebrews 10:11, it says, I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them on their mind. You see, Jesus said that the counselor would teach and remind us of all things, the Spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit who lives in you teaches you and reminds you of all things. John chapter 16, just before we close, we still got a minute or two, then we're going to close. John 16. John 16, verse 12. I have more to say, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take what is mine and take it, make it known to you. You see that? God has, all the Father has been given to Jesus, and Jesus is all of it's given to the Spirit, and he's going to reveal himself to you. We have a new mind, and there's so much more that finally in John 17, verse 25, he said, Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Wow. So the Spirit convicts the world and testifies, but Jesus said we must testify also. And I'll close with this thought. In Revelation 22, 17, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. We get to work with the Holy Spirit. Did you ever think about that? The Spirit says and the bride says, come. The Spirit testifies, we testify. God wants you to work with the Holy Spirit and share your faith with other people. We have this new mind. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, but God has revealed it to us. And we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for opening our blind eyes. Lord, we don't boast that we're smart because we're not. We boast in you, Jesus. We boast in you. We are sinners, and it's only by your grace that we are saved. But we acknowledge that you have come to live in us, and you've given us a new mind. And Lord, this cross is foolishness to the world. Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Oh Lord, we pray for this fallen world. It's only by your grace that we have escaped. We are the escaping ones. We are the ecclesia, the church, those called out of darkness. The assembly of those called out of darkness, Lord. And I pray that you would work around the world. I pray that you would work here in Chico, but in the Philippines and in Moscow and all the other places that we represent. God, we're in the last days. Strengthen our faith. Keep us full of the Holy Spirit. I pray for a fresh infilling of your power in our lives, so that in these last days we can be bold with our faith. Show us more of yourself, Lord. We're hungry for you. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us. And I pray now your blessing on your bride, your church. Pray this day and this week. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.